Hi, back here on OMF. We are live down here at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough. Time for our get-together with Bill Belichick. It's brought to you by Massachusetts General Hospital Cancer Center. Every day amazing by the Northeast Men's Clinic, specializing exclusively in men's sexual health. McFarland Energy, Fraser Engineering, great people doing great work. And by your Boston area Mercedes-Benz dealers. I won't ask you how you're doing. It's good to see you, by the way.
Yeah, Glenn. All right, Kristen.
Coach, how you doing? Yeah. Good.
All right. I hate to do it, but let's start with the last play as we're trying to figure out what happened. I'm sure you're trying to figure it out. I'm sure you've seen it a lot more today than we've seen it. Can we start with the personnel? Because a lot of people are questioning why Rob Gronkowski was out there and Devin McCourty was on the sideline, because it didn't look like there was a possibility of a Hail Mary from where Tannehill would have been throwing the football. So was that the personnel that you wanted, or was the a mix-up? Did something else happen?
No. That's look, obviously, the play didn't go the way we wanted it to go, so we'll just leave it at that. There's a lot of things that could have been better. We'll coach it better, and we'll play it better going forward. And that's true of a lot of the situational plays in the game yesterday. Both halves just weren't the way we wanted them. So hopefully we can do that better in the next opportunity.
Would it be different personnel at the end of the game? Unlike, you know, if they were thrown from the 40 or where they were, like as far as the Gronk stuff goes?
Well, it would depend. I don't know.
But had you ruled out a Hail Mary in that situation? Because you talked about your desperado and what you do, and obviously the lateral play is what they ended up doing. But in your mind, what were you thinking were the possibilities there for them?
Yeah, you know, they could do a lot of different things, so we have to be ready to defend all of them. It's not like it's just one play.
Did you guys so Gronk is in the game, and he's on, because I think I was just played the same position with you guys, and there was always like a point of no return, so to speak, where if the ball was on a certain yard line, I would be out of the game, knowing that there were probably the odds of them throwing more laterals than just throwing it deep would be a bigger percentage. Does that play into your decision to having Gronk on there based on just where the ball was, or did it even matter? Because he was lined up on the 15 on that play, so the odds of them making it into the goal line were probably slim.
Well, I mean, look, he was in there if they threw the ball down the field. You know, obviously, we didn't intend for it to end up the way that it did, but that's the way it ended up.
All right, the execution on it, because you talk about situations and how you work on Fridays and how you work in the off season, and I'm sure you've done this a million times with that play. Was it angles? Was it poor tackling?
Yeah, we just got to coach it better and play it better. It's obviously it wasn't good enough.
So, Coach, there's a couple different philosophies on the last play of the game. Some guys, some defensive coordinators will blitz the quarterback just so they don't have any time and, like, just kind of surprise them. You guys rush three. I think Kyle Van Noy was he a rusher, or was he a spy?
Well, it would depend on what the play was.
Do you think it's better for to let the quarterback sit back there and just let your guys play defense and make tackles, or at what point in time would you say, you know, let's just pressure them and force the issue?
Blitz in that situation?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that's really the thing you want to do.
So, I'm just saying,
I mean, look, we talked about this all day. It's in the end, the play didn't go the way we wanted to. We got to do a better job with it. We will. And, you know, it's really about the end of it. I mean,
well, it is frustrating. And maybe it's a credit to the organization that we don't see an awful lot of these. There are other organizations that see them a lot more than we do. And that's why it's kind of, it just seems so out of place from what we've seen with your team. Over the years. That's why we're asking about the personnel. And is there anything?
Look, you can go through it all you want. I mean, I'd say that's the least of our problems in this game. So, I mean, we got a lot of the things we need to do better, and that's certainly that was a big issue, but there's a lot of other things in this game that weren't good enough either. So,
well, let me ask about
that's one of many. So
the other one, I think the other people talk about the end of the first half. You know, Tom, he admitted he made a mistake. He thought he might have had a timeout left. But is that something to where, I mean, it's Tom Brady, right? Do you still feel like you know, Josh, whoever's in his ear, still has to remind him you have no timeouts? Or is that just a mistake that you don't see from him often?
Well, yeah, I mean, Tom doesn't make very many mistakes. Certainly didn't make many yesterday. I thought he played really well. But we didn't handle the situation at the end of the half, in the first half, very well either. So we just didn't do a good job in those either at the end of either half.
How does the communication work? Is Josh constantly communicating with him as far as, you know, informing him, okay, second down, third down, just burn our last time out? Even though you would probably assume that he would know what the situation is, just to make sure, would that communication be going back and forth between Josh and Tom?
Yeah, of course. As the situation changes, yeah. We started the series with one timeout. We used the timeout, and we went to no timeouts.
Does he have the ability just to, I guess, which I'm sure he does, to manage that as he deems fit, regardless of the information, based on circumstances changing?
There are certain fundamental things that we want to do. Each situation is a little bit different. What the down is, what the yard line the ball's on, so forth. But yeah, we have certain things we fundamentally try to do in those situations, we've done well plenty of times, but not yesterday.
All right, let me ask you about some of the other issues in the course of the game. Miami was 1 of 7 in third down situations. Talk about how deceiving a box score is. When you look at this box score, it's unbelievable. But they're 1 of 7, mainly because they did all their damage on first and second downs. They had 3 very short drives in which they scored, and they ran the ball at will yesterday against your defense. This seems to be a consistent thing with your defense on the road. We don't see it necessarily here at home. Is there an issue? Is there a difference, Bill, playing the defense on the road versus playing it at home?
Yeah, well, it wasn't good yesterday, and it was 5 drives, not 3. Yeah, when you give up big plays, then that negates third down. So this is 2 weeks in a row. I think you saw it last week.
Yeah.
So it's 2 weeks in a row where we haven't defended the run very well. Yeah, we didn't run the ball well yesterday. So I'd say that was a big issue in the game. It wasn't one play. That was 30-some runs on our side and however many it was for them.
You know, the end of the game, it's fourth down. Well, it was first and goal at the 7. You run it 3 times, you get 3 yards. Clock's ticking. I want to say there's, 21 seconds left. How much thought did you guys give to actually trying one more play to score a touchdown to really put it out of reach?
A little bit, but at that point, I mean, a field goal beat you. So, and you saw the Pittsburgh play yesterday, too. It's the same thing. And then you get beat on a field goal. So could have gone that way, but you know, I think 7 seconds to go after the kickoff return and one play, you know, that should have been okay too.
You know, defensively, you talked about the struggles of stopping the run. Did that open up a lot in that secondary? It seemed like Kenny Stills was like the one guy that kind of beat you. When you give up what you did in a run, is that what opens that up for guys running out in the secondary?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, a lot of the runs were big play runs, so that was really the issue. I mean, they hit a lot of, you know, they hit some big play runs, and that's, you know, we got to eliminate those. I mean, it's one thing to go 4 or 5 yards, 8 yards, but you know, you start giving up 50 yarders, that's a serious problem, and you know, we got to get that fixed.
So, Gordon has been playing really well. It's his third straight game where he's really been real consistent. Gronk had another great game, another good game. Edelman, are you happy overall, other than the fact that you struggled a little bit to run, well, a lot to run the football, are you happy with the progress of those three guys, and specifically Gordon, 3 straight games of really being consistent?
Yeah, well, again, yeah, we did some things well. We did things well in all 3 areas of the game. But, you know, when you're 3 for 6 in the red area and don't score from the 24-yard line, like those, that's not good. So we moved the ball. We didn't finish some drives. We left points on the field offensively. Talked about some of the issues on defense. Missed some scoring opportunities in the kicking game. So we just, you know, we in all the areas we missed opportunities, and in the end, all those things cost us.
You know, Gronk was a big topic all week with his play and how he's looked in the field. He looked outstanding in this game. Was that something different for you, or have you sort of seen this Rob Gronkowski now in the last few weeks, sort of building up to a game like this?
Yeah, Rob's practiced for the last 3 weeks, three and a half weeks. He's been out there.
Two block punts, both of them, Albert McClellan. Obviously, you saw something in him when you picked him up earlier this year. It forced their punter to kind of change what they were doing. He was kind of running and punting on the run yesterday because of his fear after the first two. Is that what you saw with McClellan when you, as a good special teams player like that?
He played in the kicking game and played defensively for the Ravens. Right. He started, 16 games in 2016 or 14 games, whatever it was. So, he has had a solid role for us, and both defensively and in the kicking game. And those are both big plays where he's able to beat Denny on the snap. And then, as you mentioned, they changed the rugby, the rugby punts. Kicked a couple short ones on that. But that was, we put ourselves in good field position there twice. Unfortunately, we're only able to capitalize on it once. So, we just got to take better advantage of those opportunities.
You know, we talk about playing on the road, and it's been somewhat of a struggle for you guys. Look differently at home than on the road. Everybody keeps talking about mental toughness. Is this one of those games where it looked like it was going to, be a W, gets taken to you late? Is that something that concerns you, the toughness on this team, with how you play on the road compared to where you play at home? The mental toughness part of it.
Yeah, no, I think our team has good mental toughness and is resilient. I think there are other things we just, I don't think it would have mattered if we were at home or away. We just didn't do them well enough yesterday the way they need to be done. Again, that's coaching and playing. We've got to do a better job of coaching. We've got to do a better job of playing.
I mean, this game, a loss like this, is such a kick to the gut. Like, what is, and I'm sure everybody's feeling just down and just, irritated, frustrated. Like, what do you tell the guys in order to just, pick their spirits up, as far as not the end of the world? Like, what's the message to them so they don't feel sorry for themselves?
Yeah, I don't think that's our mentality at all. Look, it's the National Football League, so nobody died. Got a big game this week against Pittsburgh. We got a two-game lead in the division. I mean, there's a lot of football left in the season. So, see how it goes.
I don't think you're a real superstitious type of person. Maybe you are. You seem to be pretty logical about stuff. And yet you've got this run now of 17 years in Miami where something always happens, Bill. Did you spend any time at all, and I know you've got different personnel in that locker room than you've had in past years, but did you spend any time at all sitting there talking about the urgency of we really have to focus? Something happens with us when we play on that field down in Miami.
Well, we play against a good football team, and no doubt we knew that. We knew that going in there, and Miami played well. Came down to the final play of the game, and that's the type of game we expected. That's the type of game we prepared for. That's what we expected it to be. That's what it was.
I'm just curious, what goes through your mind when you guys score a touchdown, yet you look out there and you see Tom Brady sitting on the field? I don't know if he's talked about adjusting his knee and had to do with his knee brace, but just as a coach, and you sit there, you scored a touchdown, and there's Brady lying on the field and trainers are going out.
When Tom came off, I talked to him for a minute, and he seemed fine. So.
Nope. All right, so we're going to end it up. We're going to end it up with the Mercedes-Benz drive / question of the week. We have changed this. We've added question of the week because sometimes drive of the week is a little too boring for me. So the question of the week is, do you think you've created a monster with James Devlin, consistently giving him the ball and him allowing him to score touchdowns? I mean, it's...
Possibly.
Yeah. Is he, coming to you now, asking,
listen? No, James is pretty quiet. He's not that type. James, any role you give him, he'll do. He'll go into the corner for the puck, and he'll stand in front of the net and bang it in, or whatever you need him to do. He's always willing to do it.
It's dirty
great, great team. Yep, he can do the dirty jobs, and he can spike the ball if he needs to. So No, he's a great teammate and very unselfish player and works hard, and he's very tough. So it's a great guy to have on our team.
All right, one final thing. What's this week like? This is a team you're familiar with. Are they any different than you've seen in the past? You know them well.
They hit the quarterback a lot. I think they're right at the top of the league in sacks, so they've gotten a lot of pressure from their front. Very explosive offensively, and we've seen that. You know, Connor's had a great year for him. Not sure exactly what his status is, but I'm sure that everybody and anybody that can be ready to go in this game will be there on both teams. So, we'll see how it goes. But certainly we have a lot of respect for Pittsburgh, and they're strong in every area of the game. And we'll need to play well. Last year's game came down to same thing, final play. So, sure to be tough up there like it always is.
All right. Should be a good one. Conversation with the Coach brought to you by Putnam Investments. Putnam Investments and the New England Patriots, proud partners, committed to an active game plan on the field and off. All right, Bill, have a better week.
All right, sounds good. Right. Thanks, Glenn, Chris, and Lou. Thank you.
See you later. Bill Belichick right here on OMF.
The Drive Home is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Town Fair Tire sells every name brand at the guaranteed lowest price. And Town Fair offers more free services than any other tire dealer. For the best prices on tires, nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Now back to Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
I won't ask you how you're doing. It's good to see you, by the way.
Yeah, Glenn. All right. Christian.
Coach, how you doing? Yeah. Good.
Was that the personnel that you wanted, or was the a mix-up? Did something else happen?
Look, obviously, the play didn't go the way we wanted it to go, so we'll just leave it at that. There's a lot of things that could have been better.
Would it be different personnel at the end of the game? Unlike, if they were thrown from the 40 or where they were, like as far as the Gronk stuff goes?
It would depend.
In your mind, what were you thinking were the possibilities there for them?
They could do a lot of different things, so we have to be ready to defend all of them. So it's just one play.
I got to tell you, uplifting today, didn't you say? Didn't you think?
Probably some of our best work. That was some of our best stuff. Boy, lots of silence, jeez.
If you think fans take it tough when a team loses, how about this guy? But I will say this. Did I miss something? Was he not defending the Gronk? It doesn't sound to me like it was a mistake. It would have been very easy for him to say, well, we got to coach better. And he did say that. We screwed up with the personnel. We made some substitution mistakes or whatever. Instead, it sounded to me like he was defending the usage of Gronk on that play.
Gronk's going to line up, if you know that they're going to lateral it, and Gronk has his heels on the 15-yard line, what's the benefit of him being out there? Like, there's really no benefit for him to be out there if you know that they're not going to throw it deep. Well, okay, so defend the deep ball.
Knock down the ball at the 20?
Let's just say that
15?
Because that, to me, that's a traditional Hail Mary pass. Hail Mary pass, throw it up to the right corner.
And he's the jumper, right? They call him the jumper.
Okay, but what if they said, you know what? We're gonna try and find somebody, streaking down the sideline, opposite side. We're going to roll right. We're going to throw across the field. Now he's your deep safety? Now he's got to play the right side, the deep third?
I don't think he has the speed of Devin McCoy.
Or the ability to kind of recognize it. So there really is no benefit to having him out there, because the likelihood of them throwing a deep Hail Mary pass is, very small.
Well, to me, I go back to when, Christian, you're saying, you've done that role before. But the difference is that if there was no chance of him actually throwing it the distance into the end zone, they looked at you and said, we don't need you.
No, beat it.
So it's the same scenario as here. But, I don't know, like I said before, if he just came out and said, personnel-wise, in hindsight, made a mistake. Gronk shouldn't have been out there. But, that wasn't going to happen.
I think he was defending.
Yeah, that wasn't going to happen.
The personnel and actually giving reasons why Gronk was out there.
There's so much things that he just shuts you down. Because, I wanted to be like, well, why would you need to spy? And then there was a shutdown of just, we can talk about this all day long. And it's like, yeah, I know, and we are. We are. We're going to talk about it for 4 hours.
Yeah,
this is why we're trying to get some answers, and we're not going to get any from you.
The next sentence.
It is what it is.
Yeah, the next sentence would have been, we're on to Pittsburgh. We're on to Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. That's what he wanted to do. He wanted to move on. Obviously, when we started asking him other questions, and I asked him the question about Pittsburgh, he seemed a lot different. But I was kind of surprised in that it sounds to me that he actually believed that they had the right personnel out on the field
as long as they throw a deep pass. If they start lateraling it and they start trying to, you know, do the whole, you know, desperado thing.
But I asked him. I asked him what he expected, and he gave me the scenario.
Okay, so I'll say, you know, so a lot of people not a lot of people recognize this because I couldn't see the TV copy. You can't see who's playing deep.
Got to go over to Chatham's house.
No. But I saw. So Ryan, get this. This is from. So you're hearing a bunch of calls, like either, you know, after the game was over, during the game, live radio calls. So the Miami Dolphins radio program. I don't even know who it is. Maybe it's our guy Kim. So before the play, you can hear it in their voices. Like, they're just dejected. They're just down. They know they're going to lose. But one of the guys recognizes that Gronk is on the field. And the first thing he says is, wait, this guy can't tackle.
New England's got Gronkowski down here.
Yeah, Gronkowski standing at about the 15-yard line.
He can tackle anybody.
I don't know why he's back there.
I know why. They throw it up in the air. He knocked
it
down.
That's exactly why. Tannehill, last shot, back to throw. They throw it down. They try to pitch it, and they do. Parker pitches it, and it's Drake! 30, 20! Gronkowski's got a tackle!
Oh, no way!
He got it in the end zone! Touchdown!
He can't tackle anybody.
Yeah, so Gronkowski, then they get to the point where Gronkowski's got to tackle him.
Yeah, right?
Gronkowski's got to tackle him.
Or push him out of bounds.
Well, but I mean, it's, maybe if he didn't get that dead leg, it looked like
that's what happened.
It's
almost like he tripped or something.
So, because even they recognize, like, listen, I mean, I know why he's out there also, because you're assuming he has to be the guy that knocked the ball down.
So is it strange? And we're talking about, okay, he believes that he was out there for the right reasons, right? In case they threw the ball deep. And then, but right after the game, you go in that locker room. And, I mean, their own players are admitting that they knew it wasn't going to be a Hail Mary. Yeah. Here's Devin McCourty talking about it right after the game.
Well, I knew it wasn't going to be a Hail Mary.
It was too far.
Yeah.
So the play wasn't at all a surprise?
No. He would have thrown the ball pretty far to reach the end zone.
All right, so Devin McCourty knew that it wasn't going to be a Hail Mary.
21.
So there was no need to throw it deep to have the guy back there to bat it down. What about Daron Harmon after the game? What did he say?
We knew it was going to be a lateral situation. Like, if the ball was at, you know, like the 35-yard line or the 40-yard line, then we would be thinking of a Hail Mary, everybody get back, play the tip. But it was where they were, position on the field. We knew it wasn't going to be a Hail Mary lateral, and we just got to do a better job of executing.
So, I mean, both of these guys, Daron Harmon and Devin McCourty, who wasn't on the field, knew that it wasn't going to be a Hail Mary. So why would you defend the fact that he was out there for a Hail Mary when everybody knew, even the players knew? McCourty wasn't even on the field.
I have no idea. But I got the feeling that
it was a mistake.
Bill could know
it was a mistake. He's never going to admit that it's a mistake.
Maybe that's it. Maybe he just doesn't want to admit.
But he could squash the whole story by sitting there saying, hey, you know what? Yeah. I mean, hindsight, sure. I mean, right. We shouldn't have had Gronk out there. Devin should have been out there to tackle. It was not a Hail Mary situation. The players are out talking about it after the game. And you find it strange that they're talking about that after the game?
No.
Do I find it strange that McCourty
and Harmon
are sitting there recognizing that they probably should? No, and Bill's never going to sit there and say he made a mistake, because even with Gronk being out there.
You don't think Harmon and McCourty are sitting there saying, what the hell are we doing? Why is Gronk out there? We all know it's not a Hail Mary. After the game, they're telling the media, basically, I don't know why Gronk's out there, because we knew it wasn't going to be a Hail Mary. It's going to be a lateral.
Yeah. If he's at the 15-yard line, like, being out there to knock the ball down, to me, it's kind of like a waste of space. It's like a waste of manpower, because even if you have a little guy out there, put Josh Gordon out there. I mean, that guy can probably jump through the freaking ceiling.
But he ain't tackling anybody either.
Yeah, but I still
at least he's got no more speed. I should at least get in his way.
Yeah, but I still don't understand, because there was no chance it was going to be a Hail Mary. Tannehill threw the ball from the 21-yard line. He's going to have to throw it 80-plus yards to get it in the end zone. He's incapable of doing that, especially especially with a bad foot, right? He hurt himself earlier, the ankle.
There's no way he was going
stepped
to.
On.
Yeah, and right away you realize that as soon as the ball was snapped, that Tannehill wasn't sitting back there and getting, you know, really to, you know, leverage himself and just chuck that thing down the field.
Right.
Because it doesn't make any sense. Because if you throw it to the 15-yard line, it just falls to the ground, or the guy catches it and he falls to the ground. So the odds are trying to go for the lateral. Trying to, you know, get lucky with the lateral, hoping that they're sleepwalking,
gosh,
hoping
fail,
that they
all around.
Can. Yeah. And
all
you
around.
Can sit there and you can look at all the other plays that led to this. Look at the end of the first half when Brady thought there was a timeout. You could go to the end of the last possession where they run it three times and only get 3 yards, and they end up kicking a field goal. But ultimately, like, this is the play that did them in.
Yep.
A pretty much simple play. I mean, listen to the broadcasters. Listen to all the radio guys. Listen to the TV version. Even Ian Eagle and Dan Fouts, one more first down. This game's over.
I thought it was interesting, though. Bill wanted to get off the subject of that last play so badly. He said there are all these other bad things that we could be talking about. He wanted to get off of it and talk about other bad things that happened during the course of the game. But you tell me, Christian. Today, they bring the players in. He's showing him this play. They broke down this play. What is he doing? Screaming?
No. What's he doing? There's no screaming. There's a lot of silence.
What
because
the bleep?
Because you're kind of embarrassed.
No, but is this? Let me ask you: is this one of those plays where he sits there and says it's bad coaching? I put you in a bad spot? Because to me, I think Daron Harmon and Devin McCourty after the game are questioning why Rob Gronkowski is out there, because they knew it wasn't a Hail Mary. So is he going to sit there and say, is he going to rip guys for not tackling when the players are sitting back going, okay, well, it was not a Hail Mary situation, coach. Why did you put Gronk out? So is that one of those spots where he's got to come out and say, this is bad coaching. I put you guys in a bad spot. We had the wrong personnel in the field.
Even if it's usually like when they lose and he says, oh, it's bad coaching, even if we all know he coached and called a good game, just the players didn't execute, when they lose, they lump the coaches in whether they did a good job or not. In this situation, bad coaching, bad decision-making, bad situational football,
yes.
That's what that is. One play, I mean, because all we do is harp on situational football, third down, short yardage, red zone, third and short.
End of the half, no timeouts.
Yeah, getting points, all that stuff, situational football, right? So this is, as much as he may not want to admit it, this was the game. This was the game. You lost the game because you couldn't execute one of the simplest plays in football. And we see teams complete this play, like offense, Aaron Rodgers, the king of the Hail Mary pass, usually because the defense is so dumb.
Yeah.
They're so stupid that they just don't knock the ball down.
Well, as I said to
them, they overplay it, they underplay it, they misjudge it, they jump too early, they jump too late. And the next thing you know, there's a wide-open receiver.
Well, that's why this one sticks out so much, because we don't normally see this team making these mistakes. So here's the personnel, because you asked a question to him about a blitz. He seemed to want nothing to do with the blitz. We're not going to blitz Tannehill in that situation. So here's the personnel out there. You had Claiborne, you had Adam Butler, you had Flowers, and you had Van Noy up front. Van Noy looked to me like he was spying on Tannehill.
In case Tannehill took off and ran at 69 yards for a touchdown.
So then you've got Gilmore, J.C. Jackson, you've got Jason McCourty, you've got Jonathan Jones, and then in the back end, you've got Chung, Harmon, and Gronk, your three safeties.
Yeah.
Okay, back there. Even the guys up front, I'm not sure you need, do you really even need three guys and a guy spying up front? They've got five offensive linemen up there. Why tie up guys? Put more guys back in coverage, right?
No, I've seen college teams and pro teams do this. Like maybe it's more of a Hail Mary, true Hail Mary situation where that spy guys, that guy that's spying, once he recognizes that the guards are double teaming, because there's three guys and you got five. So usually those offensive linemen are just, they're focused on the defensive tackles.
So then he blitzes off of that.
Then he comes
late
and forces the issue.
Right.
Instead of letting him just sit back there, gather himself, take a bit of time and leverage himself and then chuck it. You blitz them.
Okay, so maybe that's a possibility, and Bill simply didn't want to recognize it because that's what he does.
I mean, it's not a true blitz because there's only four guys coming.
No, but it makes sense. What you're saying makes sense.
Why have him there?
That's right. Well, that was my point. My point is, why have four guys up front against their five? You're just wasting personnel. You know what Tannehill's going to do. He's going to throw the football. He's got to throw it pretty quickly.
Well, to me, like you said, you either go in or you just take Drake out of the backfield.
Boom.
And he didn't either.
Right.
I mean, he didn't either. And because of that, because if he stayed with Drake, maybe instead of trying to clip his heels, maybe he can make a tackle.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many epic fails on that, and, it starts with the personnel. It's just everything on this play. It's not going to admit it. Again, if he just came in and just admitted it, then people would just be like, hey, listen, it made a mistake on personnel.
No, we know he can be stubborn.
We
know he can be stubborn. That clearly is something he's done before. But I almost get the feeling that he was almost sitting there going, no, Gronk was out there, and there was a reason he was out there, and he kind of gave it to you. Mike's in Brockton, next up here on OMF. Hello, Mike.
No, Mike.
Hello, Mike. Okay. I'm getting...
Bail on Mike.
Yeah, I'm getting different colors here on the screen. This is not working well. So there's something wrong with the screen here. Let's go to Jerry in California. You guys put him up. Hello, Jerry.
Hello, guys.
What's up?
Hey, I'm just wondering, did Belichick not know that the Miami quarterback had a bad shoulder coming into the game? And did he not know that he had suffered an ankle injury and he couldn't plant off his foot? And did he not see they were not lined up in a Hail Mary? And when they lined, he had a timeout. He could have called timeout and made an adjustment. Did he not see that? So it leads me to believe one thing. It's his motivation. What is he motivated to do what he did yesterday? And here's mine, and I'm going outside of the box. I'm going on the peripheral because I really think he's been trying to sabotage Tom Brady and Gronk because he tried to trade them both.
Right.
And why would you put Gronkowski out there?
This is Skip Bayless, I think.
Himself?
He's calling from California. Could
oh,
be.
Boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right, Jerry.
Tried to blow the game.
I think you're right.
That they tried to blow the game?
Yes. Of course, because he's trying to sabotage Brady and he's trying to sabotage the organization.
Mistake.
I've seen this play so
many
times.
I'm not so sure
times.
He thinks it's a mistake. I still think, like you said, I still think he thinks, if they threw the ball deep down to the 15-yard line, then we were going to be there to defend it. It was just it was a mistake. That's
Lou,
all.
I thought he was going to come
when
in here.
When his own players are coming out saying, it's not a Hail Mary situation.
I thought he was going to come in here, and I thought he would not address it much. But he would kind of sit there and say, well, you know, we make coaching mistakes and we make mistakes. I thought he would at least throw it out there without getting specific about it because he doesn't usually. Instead, I got the feeling he was actually questioning us. He was defending the use of Gronk out there.
Yeah, well,
it was
he
a reason.
Gonna take it. He wasn't going to listen. I mean, he didn't want to answer it.
You didn't get the stink eye today.
No, he didn't want to answer it. He just kept brushing it off. And then it's just, listen, we could talk about it all day. What's next? So I ask about the end of the first half. Whatever. Right. Next question. So it just is what it is.
Here's Rob in a car. All right, let's take a break, and then we'll be back. This is good. 617-779-7937 right here on OMF.
OMF. We return to more of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
I mean, I feel like I won yesterday. I'm sorry, because, I mean, this was great. You mean the genius Bill Belichick, and he is the greatest coach ever. So we finally get an opportunity to, throw some shade at him. I'm going to, because he shouldn't be out there. Gronk shouldn't be out there. We see it. He's the stiffest player on the field. Guys, what's he got, a bazooka? He's not going to reach the end zone there.
How many years Rex Ryan has been waiting to do
Rex
that?
Rex Ryan having some fun.
How many years do you think he's been waiting?
He's right.
Throw some shade at Bill Belichick. He's right.
He's right.
Can't
I mean, it's personnel. It's coaching. It's put the wrong personnel out there. You put your players in the best chance to succeed, and they didn't with putting Gronk out there in a situation where he's going to have to tackle somebody. They messed it up.
So let me ask you this, away from the end. We'll get back to the last play because everybody wants to talk about it. Anybody feel better about this team after that game yesterday? You felt good last week, Lou. You said they're the team to beat in the AFC. You said that after the Minnesota game. How are you feeling today?
I thought they would win this game. Obviously, they lost this game, so I don't feel as good.
Kansas City the team to beat now?
No. I still think they're one of them. I still think they are. I still think they're a team to beat because, to me, that was a fluky play at the end of a game. They should have walked out of there with an ugly win. And if they – let's just say that play doesn't work at the end of the game, they end up winning by 5. Would it have changed your opinion if they won by 5?
No, I'm going to stick with what I said before the season began.
That they're going to be,
It's going to be the Patriots and the Baltimore Ravens in the AFC Championship.
In New England.
In New England. Because I think Baltimore is going to go to Kansas City and beat them.
Not going to be 13-3.
My point
they will not be 13-3.
Okay, good.
Thank
I just want to make
much.
Sure that we have
thanks,
that out of the way.
Thanks for pointing
good,
that
good.
Out.
I just want to make sure you admit thanks, that you want...
It changed my opinion of them. You know, because I what they showed me last week at home against the Minnesota team, I expected them to come out down in Miami and struggle because it's in history. But I would expected them to win that football game in an ugly way, and they did up to about 7 seconds left in that football game.
All right, so history tells you they're good in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And history tells you right now that Pittsburgh has got problems. This is... what, three games in a row they've lost? And by the way, they have the same issue that New England has going to Miami, them going to Oakland. They suck in Oakland. They've lost five.
Yeah, you
in
called
a row
that one. I'll give you credit for that one.
That last
that,
week.
That was a bold move.
Yes.
So does my opinion change though?
At
no.
Baltimore and Kansas City.
My opinion does not change. I still think that their issues are so obvious. It's they can't when they match up with a team that's physical, they can't stop the run and they can't run it. So to me, that's your first red flag right there. No, they can sit there and they'll put some points up on the board, but defensively, their defense when an offensive coordinator has the ability to call up a good game plan and actually execute it, all those touchdowns, go look back and look at them. Great job by the offense. Great call by the coordinators. And they're going to end up going on the road, and they will lose.
Here's why I'll play lose game here. When you look around the league, and a few weeks ago, I think we looked at certain teams, and we said the New Orleans Saints are probably, you know, especially if they're home, they're unbeatable. The Rams, you know, they're well-rounded. They can do this. Kansas City's got this. Well, suddenly you take Kareem Hunt away from Kansas City. Kansas City's defense is god-awful because that Baltimore Ravens' biggest problem is they can't score. They'll defend you, but they can't score. And then they ended up going to their third-string quarterback because they had to because Lamar Jackson ended up getting hurt in the game. So you look around the league and you look at the Rams last night and what happened to them. Suddenly, everybody's got some warts out there. So
Saints haven't looked great the last couple of weeks.
No, they haven't, and they had to come roaring back in that game. They had to score 17 in the fourth quarter to win that game. I almost look at it as it really still does come down to that home field advantage. And that's the thing that scares me about
and
the
they're
Patriots.
Not going to have
how
it.
How many road games are they going to have?
Well,
tell
no,
me how many
they'll
road
have one.
Games. I'll tell you what. To me,
they'll have one road game.
So it comes down to...
Unless Kansas City loses.
It really comes down to the bye in my mind, right? So you get a bye, you get one home game. I think they'll beat whoever they have at home.
Right.
And then you're going to have to most likely go to Kansas City. But then again, somebody could knock off Kansas City. So now you're telling me I got one game I got to go down to play Kansas City at home, playoff game, Mahomes, AFC title game, and to me, still no running attack and a bad defense. Hey, roll the dice in that game to me. Nothing's really changed because in my mind, I know that was a fluky, strange, weird loss, and I'm shocked that it even happened from what I saw Brady into the first half, that last play, but it was kind of like the game I expected, an ugly win. So now, nothing, and I expect them to go down there and beat Pittsburgh and probably win out and be 12-4 and get the number 2 seed most likely and then end up in the AFC title game against Kansas City. Now, the difference to me is Kareem Hunt would have told me, you're not going to win that football game. Without Kareem Hunt, I don't think they can run the football, and I think you still got a chance even if it's there.
See, I think Pittsburgh, we look at them and we look at specific personnel. And we don't know what Connor's situation is next week. It doesn't sound like he's going to play. But you look at the personnel and you say, wow, they got some talented people. They got receivers. They got a quarterback that, you know, has got history. They're better defensively. But the coaching sucks. And guess what? Pittsburgh is not that good. You don't lose three games in a row. You know, I'm telling you, 2 games ago, you would get if you're a good coach, you get the players' attention, right? You get the players' attention going out to Oakland.
The issue with the Steelers, if you're looking at the Steelers, they take one on the chin. You would think they would have their best performance of the year Sunday at 4:25. You would think.
They need it too, by the way.
They have to.
They may not even make the playoffs now.
Yeah.
They're going to have to win 2 of the next 3, probably to get into the postseason.
But the problem with the Steelers is it's who they are internally, like from the top to the bottom, as far as their leadership, their personality, their philosophy, everything about it.
So be it. We'll be ready for the ass.
You can't trust them.
That guy.
You
can't trust
him. Like, I don't know who you're going to get. One day, they're scoring like crazy. The next day, they can't move the ball at all. One day, they're sacking the quarterback and being disruptive. The next day, the teams are going up and down the field on them.
So the story.
So what team are you going to get?
The story in Pittsburgh was he puts Josh Dobbs in the second half because Roethlisberger got
ribs.
His ribs. And he's had this problem. This has been an ongoing problem. So he takes him out of the game. And then when it starts falling apart, he puts him back in the game. And in Pittsburgh, the word is that maybe Tomlin thought they could win the game against Oakland because they're playing an inferior opponent. They could win it without Roethlisberger. They could win it with Josh Dobbs. But then he found out he couldn't. He brings Roethlisberger back in the game. He goes 6 for 6. They obviously get that big, huge play, which is a lateral play, and then they screw up with the field goal.
But the kicker slips.
But imagine taking Roethlisberger out of the game because you think you can win without him?
Well, that's somebody's opinion. of why maybe he was taken out of the game because he couldn't throw or he couldn't play or he took himself out of the game and they were trailing. I can go back in now. I mean, that's just somebody's opinion. That he, do we have that quote? Like, I took him out because I thought I could win the game without him?
No. He
right,
didn't.
So
he
I'm not going to go on that.
He didn't say it, but that is what some of the people were saying when talking to some of the other players. And I think that's what you've got down there. You've got a bunch of players that are talking to the media, and they're saying a lot of stuff.
So the issue with the Steelers, the Patriots have similar issues also. Like, you can't rely on them on the road. So they have one of their better defensive performances. Like, they shut down Thielen and Diggs. Put a great game plan together. Then they go on the road the very next week, and they can't stop anybody. They can't stop Kenny Stills. They can't stop Brandon Bolden. They can't stop Frank Gore.
And Stills. That's it. The running game, Stills had, what, 8 catches? Everybody else had
1. Yeah, that was enough.
I mean, that was it. It was all Kenny Stills. Can you stop Stills? They could not. And the running game. They couldn't stop one guy. And last week we talked all about Thielen, who statistically in Diggs did the best wide receiver combo in all football. And at home they did nothing against you, basically. They shut them down for the most part. And they couldn't shut down Kenny Stills.
So if every single loss looks exactly the same from the beginning of the season to the end of the season, what has really changed? Like, nothing has changed.
No.
Whatever your evaluation was after that Jacksonville game, it's the same. It should be the same now. They go on the road, they're going to get pushed around. Unless they go against a finesse team that doesn't like to run the football, which says, okay, that would be Kansas City. They don't have their running back. They're not a good smash-mouth football team. They spread you out. They're not overly – when you think of the Kansas City Chiefs, you don't think toughness. You think Kelce. He's not a tough football player. He's a finesse get in your way blocker. He wants to catch the football. All their tailbacks and their running backs and their receivers, they're not known for being tough. Defensively, they're a sieve.
Well, I'll say the other thing, and we all agree that Patrick Mahomes is going to be a terrific quarterback, and he made a great play in a 4th-and-9 situation yesterday that put him in a position to win that game. But he also had some others that he forced in there that were just dumb plays and were stuff that, boy, you're taking a real gamble. And he fumbled late in the game, which in the overtime, which looked like in Baltimore, all they had to do, they had 3 opportunities
to pounce on it,
and they would have won the game. So, you know, you don't know what you're going to get out of him because sometimes he thinks he can do a little bit more, and sometimes he can't actually get away with it because he's that good.
The fact is that the Chiefs have 3 games left. Yeah, they're tough. They play Thursday night against the Chargers. They go up to Seattle. But do you think they're going to lose 2 of their remaining 3 games?
No, I think they're going to lose 1.
I think they'll drop 1.
So fine, they lose 1. And I would say the Patriots still have another – they've probably got another loss in them. They a great opportunity for the Steelers to beat them up again.
So no, I Steelers, think that's a, if the Steelers don't beat them, you telling me the Jets and the Bills can beat them?
I would say that the team that has a better chance would be the Buffalo Bills, the better defense.
Why not?
At this point in time, if you're the Bills
Shady
and the
McCoy
Jets.
Just went down with an injury. They have no shot.
Josh Allen is rushing for more yards than him anyways.
You hate Josh Allen. You think he sucks.
Yeah, nothing has changed for me. You predicted that game. You knew it was going to be a tough game down there. I know, Christian, you predicted a blowout, but even though you're going
to Ryan, do you find my sound? Do you find my sound calling the Dolphins winning?
Because the other side of it is like what we talked about, Rob Gronkowski. For me, personally, you know, not being able to run the football and still be able to move the ball the way they did, for the way Tom Brady looked in this game, the way he was throwing the football, Rob Gronkowski's involvement of it, Julian Edelman, Josh Gordon, and you look at it and say, okay, offensively, I'm starting to feel a lot better, and that's their strength. They got to score points to win this thing. I don't think their defense is good enough. So they're starting to show it. Now, red zone is an issue. They can't run the ball in the red zone. Sony Michel's not the best, you know, from inside the 5-yard line.
They don't pass the ball in the red zone either. Yeah.
Well, I mean, the red zone offense is a concern, but as far as moving the football, to be able to move it when not being able to run it was a good sign for me.
No, I think
I think the Patriots are a bunch of frauds, and I think the Dolphins are really starting to figure it out at the right time. I think this is like a 31-10 game. Dolphins win all day long.
This is all made up.
What do you asked for it?
That was CBS.
They played that.
I listened to your pregame show with Mutt and Keefe on Sunday morning, and you called it a Patriots blowout.
That is from
a guy who predicted
game day on Channel 4, CBS.
Stop it. Wait a second. Stop it. That was Roachy saying that. You were reading Roachy's script. That's what you were doing.
We played that exact sound.
No.
This is Keefe and Mutt played this.
No.
I went to go do the pregame show on Channel 4 with Dan Roach,
radio.
And then when I came back,
They took the sound from the show and they aired it.
You're a liar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the Patriots are a bunch of frauds, and I think the Dolphins are really starting to figure it out at the right time. I think this is like a
30-point. I didn't ask for this. Dolphins win all day long.
Okay.
It's good editing.
It's definitely not Roach's script. You wouldn't say the Patriots are frauds.
What are you talking about?
Please.
I'm the only one that called it.
You're like Mutt. You're taking everything out of context now. You just take
stuff. I did not put that together. Ryan wasn't even here. You guys weren't here. Nobody told anybody to do
anything. Liar, liar, liar. That's what it was.
11-5, that's all that matters.
But they're not going to – if you look at the season, it's becoming a pattern right now. You can kind of figure it out in that they do win these home games. They'll take care of business against Buffalo and against the Jets.
Well, they're going to have to.
They will. They will. But the problem is going on the road and going – now, maybe Pittsburgh, if you look at the history, Brady does well against that defense. Mm-hmm. He puts up a lot of points. And, by the way, he does not turn the ball over against that defense. I think their defense that people thought 4 weeks ago was kind of rounding themselves and getting their act together, I think they suck again. I think they certainly showed some holes.
The fact that they don't have – first of all, so I know we got a break, but even if the Houston Texans, if you get stuck with the Houston Texans
– They're overrated too.
Okay.
Come on.
Okay.
What happened to them yesterday?
In Houston? It doesn't matter. Look what happened to the Patriots.
They got beaten Houston
every
yesterday.
Every single team – so the Steelers lost, the Houston Texans lost, and the Kansas City Chiefs by so close
still
to
won.
Losing. But they won. I would say that technically I chalked that up as a loss.
It's a W.
That's a loss in my
book.
Even though they won, it's a loss. Mm-hmm. So it's really – I know you won, but it's a loss.
We're taking a break. You just lie. You just make these things up.
I didn't do anything.
So you change your prediction on whatever show you go on. How do you lose? How do you lose if that's
the
case?
That's exactly it.
Because you have all these outlets. You have all these outlets.
Exactly.
Right. What did you have on the internet? What did you have on Twitter? What was your score there?
I don't do anything on Twitter.
Oh, okay. Quick break. We're right back, I promise. We will get to all of your phone calls. We see it loaded up here, and we'll get to it next.